I'm the substitute preacher, so if there's a visitor here, they don't think, well, that's the real guy. Substitute preacher, be nice to me. If Tom asks you to preach, I'd recommend saying yes. It's a stressful thing, a challenging responsibility to do. But God usually inspires the sermon, and the sermon is usually for yourself. The benefit of preaching is that you get to dismiss people groups, so children may be dismissed. People who are sleepy may be dismissed. People who have a headache may be dismissed. People who are hoping to ski a half day of powder may be dismissed. People who want to get first crack at the treats can be dismissed. And then eventually nobody's there and you don't have to preach. Take just a moment to be quiet and reflect on your life. Thank you. Now I have some props here. I have two hoses. It may look like one, but they're two. And I want you to vote which of these two hoses represents your life. This one? This one? Yeah, I don't see any hands going up. Okay. I'm going to lay these out. Do you believe God is kind to us? If so, say amen. Amen. I'd like to share a few of my perceptions of God's kindness. So when I think of God's kindness, I think of the universe, the amazing universe that God has created for us. The heavens and the earth, just hard to even fathom. Here's my PBS plug. You ought to watch Nova, the Planet series. It's just a testimony to God's amazingness. So God created the heavens and the earth and light and day and night, and when we all read this in Genesis. The sun, a huge ball of fire that we're still baffled by, how does this work? Burning brightly, sending energy millions of miles away to us to help things grow. The earth, so God created the earth. Scientists are still searching for another planet that's habitable. So they're looking all over and they look at these moons of Jupiter and such and they think, well, we could probably live on that. And I'm like, you guys are crazy, I'm not living on that. It's an ice ball. The atmosphere of the earth, the clouds to protect us and bring rain. The oxygen versus the methane atmosphere that happens on Uranus. The water that we have, the soil and vegetation, God has been kind to us with those. We can put things in the ground and they grow up. We get bananas, we get kiwis, we get strawberries out of the ground. Pretty amazing. Living creatures to eat, living creatures as companions and pets. God is kind to us. Amen. The gift of life. So human beings, the miracle of life, men and women, children, if you've studied at all the reproduction process, you should be amazed. It's a gift. He's kind to us. The body. Our brain is still a final frontier. We know so very little about it, 100 billion neurons up in the brain. How does it work? How does it store things? How does it retrieve things? A mystery. Our heart, our cardiovascular system, the blood pumps to all the parts of the body 24/7. We don't have to switch it on. We don't have to power it up. Amazing. Our liver, which we'd focus very little on, filters out toxins in our system. God has been very kind to us with the liver. Our senses, so our vision, our hearing, our taste, our touch, and our smell are a gift. When I think of the eye, alone, the eyeball. Auto-focuses, rotates nicely in a socket, gets to see things, allows perception of distance, color, with some nice lids and tears to keep it healthy. God is kind to us. Amen? God's promises and covenants, so promises to the people throughout history, Abraham and Sarah, the descendants, Israelites, the Ten Commandments as they come, covenant with the people, with the Levites, with the rainbow covenant, and I'll never flood the earth again. Promises to David of his future kingship, Mary and Joseph, and the promise of Christ and the Messiah. The disciples received lots of promises of the Holy Spirit, the Counselor and Comforter that would come, kindness from God. That Jesus will return is a great kindness to us. God is kind to us. His mercy and his grace. So he passes over us and doesn't wipe us out when we deserve to be wiped out. He's kind to us when we fall short, when we sin. God's grace to us in the forgiveness of sins and the sending of a Messiah who will take our place and other abundant blessings. God is kind to us. God blesses us in this life with abundances, family, partners, loving wives, children, a church family, friends, and so on. Why is God so kind to us? So I believe that God's kindness is a sign that he loves us and wants a relationship with us. Do we take it for granted? Most of us do. When the clouds bring rain to us, we may not think twice about where that came from. When the liver is working hard to clear out toxins, when the heart keeps beating, when God answers our prayers, hopefully we're thankful for his kindness. Hopefully we give gratitude to God in the midst of it. We're thankful each day. God is kind to us. Kindness is an attractant, so we're drawn to God as a result of God's kindness. Paul will tell us, and I'll quote the scripture in a minute, kindness can lead to the repentance of sin and a restored relationship with God. Are you thankful for God's kindness? Okay. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, we are... thankful. We do appreciate at some level your kindness to us. In Jesus' name. So some of you may be thinking, is this the end of the sermon? Some may actually be hoping, yeah, this is the end of the sermon. But then you say, well, what about the hoses? What were those for? Before I quit the sermon, can I have a show of hands? Who's ever re-gifted? Okay, nice. Bunch of re-gifters. I believe that God's kindness is a gift to us that is designed to be re-gifted. When we give our lives to God, we are blessed with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one of those fruits is kindness. So Paul reminds us in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a fruit. It comes from God. Kindness is a gift from God, not something that we produce or manufacture or sustain in our own lives. There are these compassion cultivation programs now. I just went to a seminar, listen about this, where they're trying to get people to develop compassion on their own and practice it. I sort of snickered. Kindness is a product of God's Spirit working in our lives. Paul reminds us of this in Galatians 5, that the human beings, we don't produce kindness naturally. It comes from outside. It comes from God. Kindness is designed to be a blessing to others, a juicy, nutritious piece of fruit for others to consume. Kindness is a gift that helps us relate to one another like God designed. It's a lubricant for our relationships with one another. We see in our society today the lack of kindness. We witness this daily. So in wars, in inequality, racism, sexism, ageism, criminal acts, walls to keep people in prison, walls to keep people out of our country, hoarding of wealth, food, resources, even toilet paper. Kindness can draw us into a relationship with God. Paul reminds us this in Romans 2. The riches of God's kindness leads us towards repentance. Jesus modeled kindness, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, showing mercy to sinners, touching lepers. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for others." Jesus gave it all for us, the greatest act of kindness, I think. However, some of you may say, well, Jesus wasn't always kind. What about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And I think you're right. Jesus, at times, it looks like he was unkind, confronting them about oppressing people, challenging their hypocrisy, teaching them in a confrontational manner, calling them names, defending his life against their accusations. However, I think if we were to look at Jesus's every interaction with these folks, I think it was all motivated by the Father's kindness and love. God commands us to re-gift kindness. Jesus commanded us, love each other as I have loved you. Loving kindness should flow through our lives. Some of us, however, admitted that our lives are more like this twisted, kinked, and clogged hose. We don't let things flow through like they ought to. Think about for a moment what is it in your and in my life that is the kink of it, that clogs, that quits the flow from retards the flow from coming. So I have a few thoughts about this in my own life. Let me confess a few reasons I think the kindness of God is obstructed in my own life. See if you can relate to my experiences. Problem one, I forgot to connect the hose to the source of water. Sort of like doy, you're not going to get anything out of that. Being disconnected from God, the source of our kindness, being poorly or insufficiently attached to God, a loose connection, as all of you will know, to the spigot, you're going to have water all over. Or I'm trying to produce kindness on my own power. What I think about is like spitting into one end of the hose and hoping that something comes out the other end. So this problem, not being well connected and not inviting the Holy Spirit to transform, empower, and use me. Another kink in the hose for me is self-centeredness and selfishness. So believing that God's kindness is all for me, so I'm going to be a taker. Me first generation, I want it for myself, I'm not going to let any of it go. I might even hoard up God's kindness. I might even rent a storage shed and store it there later. Not understanding that I'm designed to serve God and to serve others. I think of myself as being served. Being selfish with my time, my energy, my resources, thinking I have more important things to do than be kind to other people. Being too busy, only being kind if I think there's a return for me on the investment. Another kink, as you can see, there are many kinks in this hose. Kink number two, I judge other people. Judging others as if that was my place, my responsibility to do. Deciding who I think deserves kindness and who doesn't. Parceling out kindness as if to approve of some people and disapprove of others. Withholding kindness from people who are different from me. So people who might oppose me or I consider them my enemies. People of different color, different nationality, different gender, sexual orientation, faith, political orientation, age. People who have different tattoos, people who have too many piercings, on and on. I judge others, that's a kink. It obstructs kindness. Kink number three, I have unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. So withholding kindness from those who have hurt me in the past. Withholding kindness from those who have hurt people I love, or just withholding kindness from people who hurt others in general. I work in corrections with criminal offenders, so you can imagine there most of these people have hurt other people at some level. So holding on to resentment, bitterness, or anger towards others, not allowing kindness to flow to them for some reason. Kink number four, I have succumbed to the world's philosophy, bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. So I'm only demonstrating kindness when others are kind to me. I call this the bronze rule instead of the golden rule. Treating others as they treat you. It's a less than gold standard. Reserving kindness for those I like, being unkind to people who are unkind to me. Kink number five, I'm feeling old, tired, and the gauge on my kindness tank reads nearly empty. Excuse me. This is water. So feeling burned out, running on fumes, feeling a need to conserve my resources. How can I be kind when I'm on fumes? Looking at it sort of like giving blood. I can only give so much at a time. I already gave at work. I was kind at work, so I can't be kind at home. Kink number six, and there are only seven, so we're getting close to the end here. Kink number six, I'm afraid someone will take advantage of my kindness. So feeling afraid they may ask for more than I can give. Feeling afraid they may make me look foolish if they are faking their needs. Feeling afraid that they will abuse my kindness at some level. And feeling afraid that they will use my gift to buy cigarettes, alcohol, or drugs. All of you have been in that dilemma. Kink number seven, and there are probably more than seven in the hose. Believing that others are more able, qualified, or gifted at being kind than I am. Believing that I'm not good at being kind or compassionate. Believing that someone else will come along and help them. That it's really not my responsibility. Believing that the government will provide the help that they need, the police or the search and rescue or social assistance, food stamps and the like. Believing that kindness is the responsibility of the pastor, the deacon, the elder, the trustee. So those are seven, and there are probably more kinks in my life, in my hose than that. You may or may not relate to the things that obstructed me. Hopefully a few of them you can relate to. Thankfully, for us as Christian, God offers us hope that we can clear the hose, that we can reduce the kinks in our hose. Consider these promises and solutions. So problem one, I forgot to connect the hose to the source of water. Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Promise to us, apart from him, detached, we can do nothing. Jesus demonstrated this for us. So he took time to get isolated and pray, commune with the Father, be refreshed. He explained and described their relationship as one. I and the Father are one. So this helps me to be tightly connected to God as a source of my kindness. If we are well connected, the pressure of God's Spirit in our lives will blow out some of these kinks and twists. If you don't believe this, come to the ice rink some late night and I'll show you. Kink number one, I'm self-centered and selfish. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Jesus literally did this, took up his cross, gave his life for us. So I can confess my sin of selfishness and allow God's kindness to flow more directly through my life, consider myself a servant, not attempting to save up or hoard up God's kindness. My refrigerator periodically reminds me that stored fruit can become useless, even stinky. Kink number two, I judge others. Paul tells us and teaches us in Romans 2, he describes all of our sin, that we sin greatly, Jews and Gentile. And then he concludes, "You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" I'm going to read that last part again, very potent. Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? God is kind, tolerant, and patient with us. Who am I to judge others and be unkind and withholding?" Problem kink number three, I have unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. Jesus said, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Pretty clear what he's telling us. Paul reminded the Ephesians in chapter 4, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Really important for me to forgive people. Jesus modeled this nicely for us. From the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Kink number four, I have succumbed to the world's philosophy, bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, the bronze rule. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brother, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." If I submit to God, his Spirit can produce kindness in my life, even blow out the kinks of my impressions about enemies. Problem number five, kink number five, I'm feeling old, tired, and the gauge on my kindness tank reads nearly empty. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus demonstrated this as well, trusted the Father to restore him, empower him, use him to reveal God's character. resting in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, the filler-up approach. The solution to kink number six, I'm afraid that someone will take advantage of my kindness. We've all been at that crossroads. Jesus said in Matthew, you have heard it was said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Jesus demonstrated this as well. He had no fear of being taken advantage of by others. He knew his calling and his purpose and his calling to be kind. The Good Samaritan is a great example of this as well. He put himself out there, way out there, for a stranger. Who of us have left a credit card on file for a stranger who was injured? And the final kink solution to this one, I believe others are more able, qualified, or gifted at being kind than I am. A kink in the hose of kindness. In Matthew 25, Jesus teaching about the judgment, the final judgment, sheep and goats, sheep being God's children, says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me. So ability, qualifications, position, gifting has no relevance on whether we're kind or not. God's children are kind to others. Amen? Let's pray.